Hello, and welcome to Community Forum. I'm Ellen Lockyer. Today, we'll be talking about Identity Incorporated and Pride Fest. I've got three folks here from Identity Incorporated, which is a nonprofit advocacy organization for gay, lesbian, transgender, and bisexual individuals. Let's say hi first to Phyllis.
Hello.
Phyllis Rhodes is the executive director of Identity Incorporated. Tiffany McLean.
Hi.
And she is a identity board member and works with equality issues and is also working with ACLU, correcto? And Scott Turner, Mr. Scott Turner.
Good afternoon.
And Scott is the coordinator for this year's Pride Fest, which starts on the 13th. Welcome to the show. The annual Pride Fest kicks off with an art show, I believe, at Wilder Marston Theater on the 13th of June, and it's called Celebration of Change. Scott, you want to tell us what that is?
Yes, ma'am. It's the annual celebration that the women's community does every year. It has been everywhere from Marston Theater to the Performing Arts Center, and I believe this is their 25th year, so a big celebration for them. It's an all run, organized, written, performed by women in our community.
Oh, and it's not just art, like
no,
pictures.
Performance, music, a little bit of theater, some readings, things like that.
Okay, and this is the first event of the 9-day Pride Fest?
Yes, ma'am.
Celebrate. Let's talk a little bit about Pride Fest for our listeners who are not familiar with it. I've been in Anchorage a long time. And it seems to come up every single year, but it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger every year. So what is it, and when did it get started?
Well, it's actually the commemoration of the Stonewall Riots in New York back in the late 60s, and it started here in 1972 was our first Pride celebration. The first march was in 1977, went on for about 10 years, and then lapsed, being just the Pride Festival for during that time. And in 2001, we began marching again. There was a need.
2001?
Yes, ma'am.
So the parade has only been going on since?
Again, since then. It went on for 77 to about 87, about 10 years worth. And then folks decided they wanted to just have the festival for a while. And they gathered on the park strip and continued to do that. And in 2001, we saw a need to revisit the parade idea.
So you're about 8 years in then.
Yes, ma'am.
It seems to me that it does get bigger every year. And I'll give a rundown on some of the highlights here. It's grown, and after Friday's art show, there's 8 days of events. There's films, poetry readings at various venues around mm-hmm. town. There's barbecues and my personal favorite, drag queen bingo on Thursday night. There's even a fundraiser to help interior flood victims, and it all leads up to the big Pride Fest parade on the 20th. And then there's more on the 21st, and that's a Pride Fest reception. And then there is a meeting of the Imperial Court of All Alaska. What is that? Tell us about that.
The Imperial Court's a nonprofit philanthropic organization started by the folks in the drag community, but it's expanded since then to include all kinds of folks. We have members all over the state. Basically, they have been raising money for almost 40 years, especially to help folks in need, and give away anywhere from $60,000 to $90,000 of scholarships every year to folks attending UAA and other schools that are actually residents of the state.
Mm-hmm. So, Scott, you mentioned earlier the Stonewall Riots in New York. Can you New York? Listen to me. I used to live in New York. I did. I grew up in New York. Yeah, tell us about the Stonewall Riots.
Well, basically, that was the beginning of the modern gay rights movement. The folks there had been trapped in a bar called the Stonewall and decided they had had enough of all of the police and things like that giving them harassment, and they turned around and fought back, and that was basically what they used. This is the 40th anniversary of those riots. It was in 69, actually. And basically, that's where the modern gay rights movement had started, and everything kind of blossomed from there. You see Pride celebrations all over the world now, but basically, we commemorate that here on the last weekend in June.
And it's a big festival, and the whole community is invited to take part,
yes,
and
ma'am.
There doesn't seem to be any controversy about it as far as I can remember. I have not encountered any. So, Phyllis, I'm going to direct this question to you. How do you feel in Anchorage. Do you feel Anchorage is a friendly city for gay people?
I think it's a safe place for us. Generally, we're typical citizens of this city. We try not to aggravate our neighbors. And I think generally it's a live and let live. There are occasions of discrimination that go on, and probably a lot of them. But generally, on the surface, it appears to be a safe place. We would not probably feel safe holding hands on the street. So I think, in a way, most of us are, to a degree, closeted, even though we say we're out.
How much of that is part of the American persona and part, not really so much? Let me explain my reasoning here. Like, my husband's Mexican, and they kiss a lot. And it sort of took me aback that every time I met one of his relatives, they were laying a big pasty one on me. I was, and I was getting kissed all the time. And at first, I felt really uncomfortable. But then I thought, this is like a handshake to them. It's just a different culture. Is an American culture sort of standoffish when it comes to seeing people close, being close?
Okay, you're talking about an American culture, not an Alaska culture?
Right, yeah.
Tiffany talk to that. Do you mind?
Yeah, no, go ahead, Tiffany.
I guess I think, though, I've been in plenty of other places where people, couples of the same sex, feel perfectly comfortable walking down the street holding hands. I don't think anyone is comfortable watching extreme public displays of affection, regardless of who the couple is. But I think it is acceptable to see a straight couple holding hands on the street, kissing each other on the cheek, walking down the street with their children. And that's not very visible here in Anchorage, and people feel unsafe doing it, where there are plenty of other places in this country where it is more acceptable, and people get used to saying it, and they don't get I'm sure they get some harassment for it occasionally, but there are communities that accept it as, just another couple walking down the street.
Right, and I want to read right here that Tiffany does work with equality issues. Have you ever, Tiffany, been discriminated against in your life?
Not on the basis of sexual orientation. I mean, I'm pretty young, but I've spent a lot of time in graduate school, and so in educational settings, people generally are more accepting of difference, coming from going straight from, graduate school to working for the ACLU, it's a different setting where people, they acknowledge that everyone is equal and work toward that. So in my employment, no, I haven't experienced discrimination.
So getting back to Pride Fest for a moment here, like, why is Pride Fest even necessary? Scott told me that, or told us, that it went back to these riots in the 40 years ago in which gay people felt that they needed to physically defend themselves against attack. And what triggers these attacks? You saw the film Milk,
mm-hmm.
I assume, and anyone who didn't, it does have, newsreel footage of the 50s and the 60s, which is not that long ago, in which homosexuals of both sexes were criminalized. So can you talk to me, why do we have to then keep, we have not come that far then to remove the stigma of, like Tiffany was saying, difference?
We have and we haven't. Part of it is a celebration for us to acknowledge, who we are, the different groups in town, the organizations that support us, and all of that. But again, part of it also is the visibility to let people know we are here, and the discrimination still does exist. And until that goes away, we'll probably continue to march. And then, it's also a pride parade. It's just like the folks in larger cities do, the Irish American Pride Parade or Columbus Day or things like that. And it's our community doing celebrating our existence and acknowledging each other and showing the world a little bit of who we are.
But Pride Fest is, a celebration. It's a joyful thing.
Absolutely.
It's definitely, Excuse me. Maybe you have a schedule there?
I do.
You might want to highlight some of the events for us?
What I was going to talk about, we have, as you said, on Saturday the 13th at 7 p.m. at the Wilda Marston Theater will be Celebration of Change. And we invite folks to come out and celebrate their 25th anniversary. That morning also will be the memorial service at Anchorage Memorial Park Cemetery. Basically, the corner of 6th and Fairbanks, there is a memorial for our community. And we acknowledge those folks that we've lost in past years then. The film Outrage will be showing on Monday the 15th at the Bearstooth Theater at 5:30 and 7:45. It's about how the political arena and folks who may be in the closet and still voting for anti-gay measures talks about a lot of that stuff. Sunday the 14th will be the kickoff barbecue at the Raven at 4 p.m. That's 708 East 4th Avenue. There's going to be a double feature of poetry from James Baldwin and Gertrude Stein's works at Out North on Wednesday the 17th at 7 p.m. And then, as you said, Drag Queen Bingo on Thursday at 7. That will be at Snow City Cafe. We open up at 7 p.m. for that. And that's a fundraiser for the Adam and Steve program. It's the empowerment program that does HIV prevention in the young gay men's community. And we're very proud of them. And then there will be events going on at the bars all weekend, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, at both Mad Myrna's and the Raven and the Kodiak. And so there will be different events at all the bars. I know the Kodiak's having some mud wrestling events Thursday and Friday, and then Saturday they have their Slave for a Date auction, which raises money for different nonprofits in need here. And also Friday night, the 19th, will be the Mr. and Miss and Ms. Gay Anchorage pageant. And folks that are interested in running for that can go ahead and contact. All of this information is on our website, which is www.anchoragepride.com. And the schedule and links to all of the events and information all on there. So please check that out.
That gives me an opportunity to say that all the information about this show can be reached at kska.org, which is KSKA's website. We will have links to all of these other websites. And this is a call-in program. I would like to remind my listeners that today, and today only, we have a different set of numbers. To call in the Anchorage area, call 550-8422, 550-8422. Or outside of Anchorage, call toll-free 800-478-8255, 800-478-8255. This program is recorded in the afternoon. Please do not call in the evening because it's a rebroadcast and there will be no one here to answer the phones. Now, getting back to, I completely lost my train of thought, but I was going to ask Tiffany, you mentioned that in an educational arena, so to speak, that people are more accepting of difference. Whereas when I was in college, and that was not that long, yeah, it was maybe 40 years ago. I'm admitting. There was very little information about homosexuality, and what was available was whispered and probably totally inaccurate. I find that the young people of today, both college and high school students, are far more accepting. Can you comment on that? Not that you were alive 40 years ago, but I'm just saying, do you feel that tension of otherness?
I think there is definitely a generational shift. And it didn't take place too long ago because I can remember being, I mean, I graduated from high school in 1997 and in St. Louis, Missouri. And we didn't talk very much, if at all, about being gay or lesbian. It was not part of our conversation. We didn't have gay straight alliances or anything like that. I went to college and it was very different. I went to college on the East Coast at a women's college, in Western Massachusetts in the Pioneer Valley, where there's a large presence, especially of lesbians who live there, and that was new for me. And the conversation was, you become more familiar with what it means to be gay. You know, there were safe spaces created for LGBT students, But there is definitely a shift, I think, that took place after that, and maybe it had a little bit to do with Ellen, where gayness became part of a national conversation. And the kids who, you know, maybe just 4 or 5 years younger than me have a totally different experience than I had growing up. So I think there has definitely been a shift in our culture in terms of just talking about it.
Right. And usually the media portrayal, film, television of young people facing their sexual identity, it's usually fraught with just huge trauma, pain, suffering, gnashing of teeth. And I'm sure that's true in many cases. But some people, maybe it wasn't that true. I mean, much of how gays are portrayed in the media is probably written by people who are not gay.
Very true.
And would you comment on that? I mean,
well, and one thing you can say is any teenager is going to go through angst. You know, it's a part of growing up and all of that. But especially when you're in major cities where there's more of a LGBT presence, there's youth groups, there's advocacy groups, and all these other things available to people as they grow up, as well as the GSAs, especially nowadays, the Gay Straight Alliances in the high schools. People are coming out at an earlier age. They're more comfortable, more accepting. Their friends and family are more accepting, and so you don't have a lot of the issues that you had years ago, and it's more comfortable for people.
Right, and I was just doing the math over here. I did graduate from college exactly 40 years ago. Get it? 1969, and it's 2000. It's 40 years. So I probably do remember the Stonewall riots, although probably I was not paying attention, because by that time I was moved from the East Coast to California. So Pride Fest has grown. It's this huge thing now, 9, 10 days, and Phyllis was mentioning there's actually already some things going on related to it. Does that mean the gay demographic in Anchorage has grown? Or does it just mean Anchorage has grown and then with it more homosexual people?
I think a little bit of both. I think people are slowly feeling more comfortable being out here. I think there are a lot more GLBT supportive businesses and people. We have a lot more allies out there, people willing to be identified as being allied with us. And I think that's made folks a lot more comfortable about doing things. I mean, you have the museum does their movies every year. You have stuff at Bernie's. You have stuff at, the Park Strip where, our friends, our families, our children, people bring out their whole family to the festival, get to listen to music, listen, hear people speak, shop at our vendors who are both part of our community and allied with our community. So I think you're seeing a trend towards more acceptance. And I think as we're out there more and more visible, we'll continue to see that.
And the city supports you? Do you don't get any flack from this city?
No, the city's been very supportive for the whole permitting process and everything.
Well, this is sort of a refreshing conversation because it's sort of free of anxiety. I was going to say that years ago when I first came to Anchorage, that was in 76, and those were the Wild and Woolly post-pipeline days. It was really, really, really different. But no one seemed to make a lot of bones about gay or straight. It was pretty much very bar-centered in those days. There was not a lot of amenities, let me say. There was we didn't have museums and nice bike paths and symphonies. It was straight beer and rock and roll. But the place everyone went to dance was this gay bar down on 4th Avenue that had the best disco music. And nobody ever thought anything about being, gay or not gay. It was just everyone went there. It was just like all the other bars, like, others I could name. And there was a sort of refreshing innocence in those days. But I'm sure that masked a lot of maybe confusion about gender identity. Did anyone live through those days, Phyllis? Maybe you could comment.
Yes, I did. I was not out at that time. Mm-hmm. I was probably still married at that time. So I really didn't, and even after I was divorced and was willing to accept my sexuality, I stayed very closeted because of where I worked. So I didn't really get involved in the gay community at all until after I retired, and that was 13 years ago. So my gay history is 13 years old.
So, but you did feel that the place where you worked would discriminate against you had you made it known that...
I do. It was a very conservative place. Uh-huh. I think that there could have been discrimination. And I really was not fearful of my coworkers or even my bosses harassing me as such. But there were other people that I worked with outside of that office, if they knew, would have made my life pretty miserable.
And that was only 13 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe the changes are really rapidly coming faster and faster, where they sort of simmered for a while. Why is it that homosexuals feel or encounter discrimination? It's not like it hasn't been around since prehistory, apparently. I mean, you can name any number of historical figures that were gay and didn't mind saying so, and nobody thought anything of it, and other times in other cultures. So I do you have thoughts on that? Why?
I think maybe because there's more exposure nowadays. You have folks that are more comfortable coming out and being who they are in the public venue, and I think people, as they get used to seeing positive LGBT role models, that not only folks in our community but folks in the general community become more comfortable. It was the same way with racism. That's, you know, you don't make strides in those areas unless people are out there speaking about it. And I think as people get more comfortable listening, you have less people that have difficulties with it. And the more people you get to meet, you know, that are LGBT, then people get a clearer picture of what the media portrays and what is actuality, and, you know, who their friends are, and just knowing who they are puts a face on it for them.
Yeah, in the media, gay men are always portrayed as very handsome, well-dressed. They drive fancy cars, and they never seem to have anything to do but go to parties. And I know plenty of gay men, and they're working all day, and they're too tired to go to parties at night. They're just like the rest of us. But I have to say, this is a little anecdote that sort of bounces off what Phyllis was saying earlier. This is a true story, too. I woke up, I got a phone call quite early one morning last summer, and it was my friend Patsy from the East Coast, and we've been friends since we were, like, in college, you know, in our teens. And all these years, she lives in back in New Hampshire, and I live here now, but we always email. Now we email. We used to actually write, and we phone and, you know, visit, and over the years. And she calls me up at 7 o'clock Alaska time, and she says, "Ellen, I have something to tell you." And I'm like, "What?" And I'm thinking, her husband died or something. I mean, you know. She says, "I'm gay." And I went, "You're 63, and you're finding this out now?" Because we have the same birthday. And she said, yeah. And she talked my ear off about how excited she was about it and how much she finally figured it all out after several children and a 25-year marriage or something. But, you know, it hit me over the head, and then I thought, it makes sense. Why didn't I see it? But why the heck didn't she see it? Why would it be so repressed? Phyllis, can you answer?
I was raised in a Southern culture, and it wasn't at that time. I'm 72, so...
You don't look a day. You don't look near that.
Well, I'm not on TV, so you can say that.
Holy moly.
Anyway, I was raised in the South, and I was raised by a single mother, and actual single foster mother, and... I really admired and envied my friends who had the mother, father, Dick, Jane, dog. That was my ideal, because all of my friends had that. And I can tell you that probably I did have an affectional preference for girls, but I had this cultural thing that I wanted to get into. And so I proceeded to date and to get married, and to raise a family. But there came a point where that wasn't really who I was. And with much reflection, and help from a very good therapist, it came out, and then I went on with my true self.
And that took a lot of courage, because by this time you're pushing 60, right?
I was pushing 50 about that time.
Right, right. And was it difficult for you at a mature age to suddenly embrace a whole lifestyle that had been, like, forbidden?
At first it was very, very scary.
Yeah.
Very scary. Like, you know, the first thing you think of, the first thing I thought of back in the late 50s when I first had the inkling was, I'm the only one. There is nobody else out there like me. And so I proceeded to lead a straight life. When it finally came out through counseling, it was a great relief.
And how did it take many years of counseling? Say?
Probably three. It wasn't bad.
It's not bad.
No.
Heck. I went to counseling once, and they told me it would take 8 years to fix me, and I says, no way, I'm not paying that.
I wasn't very broken.
You were.
I knew.
So. You knew. And whereas a younger person like Tiffany, for you, was it difficult to come to terms with your sexuality?
Well, the thing is now, I mean, I came out in my early 20s, which isn't that long ago, but mm-hmm. compared to younger people now, that's old. They think, you know, wow, you didn't come out until you were in your early 20s. You know, for me, I think it was similar to... I mean, I try to think about it now and figure out why I didn't figure it out earlier. And I think I came out when I could. I was comfortable enough. Like, I don't think I would have had... It was easier for me when I came out because I had already been exposed to the LGBT community at that point. Many of my close friends were, you know, lesbians, and, you know, they knew I was gay, but it took me, you know, time to figure it out. But it was... I think it was good because I felt safe by the time... I came out to myself, I had become comfortable with the idea. It wasn't something that seemed immoral to me. It never, when I was a kid, it didn't seem, it wasn't part of my life, my thinking. I don't remember thinking about being gay or lesbian. I remember, you know, having this, you know, there was, you know, a woman that I had, you know, great affection for and never understood it. I mean, it seemed like, you know, this is just some... You know, unique.
Well, teenage
feeling.
Crushes it, between girls are uncommon. That's quite.
But it wasn't. I mean, yeah. She was slightly older than me. It wasn't just between the two. You know, it was. I used to think about. You know, I wanted to grow up and marry one of her brothers so that I could be with her for the you know forever. You know, the fact that I had to make that. You know, I skipped over the idea that I could just be with a woman forever. It wasn't something that I could imagine as a possibility. And it just took me a while to, you know, put the puzzle pieces together. And I don't think I would have been able to handle it very well if I had been younger before I knew what it meant to be LGBT and that it was okay.
But now there's many support groups, such as Identity mm-hmm. Inc., to help you find your way through. Because, you know, emerging sexuality is... It's confusing no matter what. How about you, Scott? Do you have any?
I was very lucky. I was able to come out as a teenager. I grew up in a large metropolitan area in Chicago, and there was already an established LGBT youth group and other organizations like that when I was growing up. So I was very comfortable. I have very supportive parents and family, and so I didn't have a lot of the issues that some of my friends have gone through. Even there, you know, there are people that have family that's not so understanding and folks that I know that have been, you know, shunned by their family and things like that. But for the most part, a lot of the folks that I knew had a similar experience to mine.
Right. And getting back to my friend from the East Coast, who's now my age, which is 64, and she said she had, I asked her, you know, during this conversation, how are you going to cope? I mean, where's your support system? And she said she had already joined a group which advocates for older women, many in their middle 60s, who are just coming out for the first time. And I was unaware that there were such groups, but apparently in some enlightened communities there are. But And, you know, she seemed to be very, very even about it, very, like, joyful rather than, oh, my God, you know. And she said she had a good relationship with her two kids. I don't know how her husband took it. I never talked to him. But, you know, life goes on, and she's now too busy to... with her new life. So but anyway, we are going to go to a short break, and when we come back, I'd like to talk about the city ordinance. So you are listening to Community Forum. I'm Ellen Lockyer. Welcome back to Community Forum. I'm Ellen Lockyer. My guests today, all three of them, are with Identity, Inc., and it is a advocacy organization, a nonprofit, which works for gay, lesbian, transgender, and bisexual issues in the city of Anchorage. And speaking of the city of Anchorage, apparently hundreds of people turned out to testify for or against a proposed amendment to a city anti-discrimination ordinance at the Anchorage Assembly meeting last night. I have a reporter friend who gave me a transcript of some of the comments made, and I guess I want to bring this up because I want to, like, dispel some of we talked about the media image of homosexuals was probably not all that accurate. Well, there were some comments. One, quote, "This ordinance pushes unwanted beliefs and lifestyle on good Christians." One woman said she supports gays but thinks their lifestyle is unhealthy. She didn't embroider on why. Another woman called for impact studies, like, yeah, impact studies. Let's put it on the back burner for 10 years and spend a lot of money on studies. Does this smack to you of the old, and there were signs in the territorial days in stores owned by white people, "No natives allowed"? Does this sounds alike to me? Anyone want to comment on that? It's definitely an us and them kind of thing.
You know, this is Phyllis. We're never going to the very conservative religious person who believes that homosexuality is a sin, no matter how much talking we do, we're not going to change their values. Neither can we change who we are. So we need to recognize that and move on to, we're not going to try to change you. Please don't try to change us. And just treat us as every other citizen with the same exact rights and protections that every other citizen has, including that religious person and the most flaming homosexual areas deserve the same rights.
Alaska's a big state. Isn't there room enough for everybody?
We think so.
You think so? Good. But federal law prohibits discrimination? When does city law catch up with federal law?
Well, federal law still does not protect us yet. ENDA has not passed yet. We're very proud of our president for proclaiming June Gay Pride Month, but the ban in the military is still in effect. The Defense of Marriage Act is still sitting out there, and until those things go away and we have a national discrimination law, then, you know, everything's still in abeyance.
So is there active advocacy for a national anti-discrimination law? Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
The National Gay and Lesbian Task Force and the Human Rights Commission actively works towards that every year, and I think we'll continue to work toward it until it gets passed. There's active support in the House and the Senate for both of those, and I think eventually one day it'll pass.
I want to remind our listeners this is a call-in program, and our numbers today are a little bit different. In Anchorage, call 550-8422. That's 550-8422, or toll-free outside of Anchorage, dial 1-800-478-8255. That's 800-478-8255, or email us at communityforum@kska.org. We do have a caller holding. I'd like to go to line one, please. Hello, Susan.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome to Community Forum.
Thank you. Hi, Tiffany. Hi, Phyllis.
Hi.
Hello.
And I'm sorry, I forgot the gentleman's name.
Scott.
I'm not excluding you. Hi, Scott. Just a little bit on what you were talking about on the struggle of coming out. I just, for sake, I am a Christian, straight, heterosexual, I guess I would say. It's very frustrating. I was testifying last night at the library and whatnot on this subject and on equal rights and whatnot. I attend MCC Church, and we were going through an interview process regarding this ordinance and regarding, you know, the need for it and all of this. And it was interesting when they offered to come in to our church, and it hurts when you have parishioners who have to hide, who can't be seen on TV, who can't be interviewed openly. There is a very real need for this protection locally. Nationally, it would be awesome, but locally, it's time to catch up, and it's time to be open to allow. I don't know where I'm going with this. It frustrates me that we can't all be open and above board and straight out. And I have a brother who is gay, and I have a daughter who's a lesbian. And when my brother came out to our family, my father is a Marine drill sergeant, or was a Marine drill sergeant. It was not an easy time. It took 2 years for them to have a relationship again. Thank God he came around. My father, that is. And my brother was very much afraid for a year before he could even say anything to his family. And to me, that was a shame in itself. I don't know what else to say. I have taught my children, you know, tolerance throughout their life, no matter what they were going through. You respect somebody. When somebody does you wrong, then you're leery of them and you don't trust them. But no matter who they are, you respect them. And I would say the same thing about Mr. Prevo. When they earn it, it's great. When they don't, you know, they live with the consequence. And the same thing applies.
So you think it's time now we were big enough to embrace and respect different cultures, different ways, and different ways of expressing sexuality?
Oh, very much so. I find it very frustrating, like you were talking earlier, that, you know, I could walk down the street with my boyfriend or my husband, and I could be holding hands, and I could give him a kiss if I wanted to, you know, like Tiffany said, not making out, but, you know, and that wouldn't even be an eyelash batted at it. If my daughter to walk down with her partner holding hands, you know, they get leers, they get comments, they get, you know, it's not right. It's not, it frustrates me, and it's hateful, and that's wrong.
But in Europe, if two young women were walking arm in arm or hand in hand, no one would even notice.
And that's the way it should be here. I agree with that 100%. I don't see the reason why we have to feel that way, and I certainly don't see the reason why we have to educate our children that way, that it's wrong. That frustrates me beyond belief, but we won't go there.
Well, thanks for calling, Susan. I appreciate
it. Thank you for all your work.
We've got an email coming in, a complimentary one from Stephen Gingrich, and he says, great that a call-in program on, this is the one I have a hard time with, LGBT issues is at last being done on KSKA. How about, we have another couple phone calls coming in. Let's go to line 4 when we can. Until then, I will babble a little bit. It's true that at one time it wasn't okay to be black in this country, and it wasn't okay to be Native in this country, and it wasn't okay to be Catholic in this country. And when you look back, and I am old enough that I can start looking back a little now, you can see how mores and attitudes have completely flip-flopped. I mean, my grandmother was from Ireland, and the Ku Klux Klan burned a cross on her lawn. And we were not down south. We were on Long Island, New York. So why is there this need to find a scapegoat? Usually immigrants are the ones who take the impact. And but any group that is considered not fitting within a certain parameter, and nobody ever really asked the question, who the heck set the parameters to begin with? Let's go to line 2, Jeff, on line 2. And he's holding. Hi, Jeff, are you there?
Hi, let me turn off the radio. So
yeah, please do.
I'm going to be 68 in a couple of weeks, and I grew up in Manhattan, and on East 28th Street, and I have known homosexual people since I was like 11 or 12. But it's kind of like the guy who's doesn't have a hate for a particular group, but fits in. It's like I have a heterosexual perspective on this. It's not like so. Here's my perspective. There always were places where you could be open about your sexuality and behavior and stuff. It's just that they were limited, which is what happened in Manhattan at that riot. Finally, it exploded. But if you went to the right areas, there were neighborhoods where, you know, it was just everybody was out, and it didn't matter. But they weren't on, you know, they weren't uptown on Park Avenue. That was. But the point is that you the more people react like they do, this craziness, this insanity, that who would do all these things that they are conjuring would happen if this law passes or if it doesn't pass. I don't live in the valley, so I can't really vote in this thing. But it's so stupid. What I learned growing up, the idea was anything between consenting adults is their business in private. And it's a whole area of discussion and prurient perspective that never came up. Who cares? What is, you know, so what is this business about? Oh, they're going to come to work in a dress? I don't think so. That's inappropriate. It's got to do with what's supposed, you know, acceptable at a certain level. There's professionalism in everything. I think the basis of this is the same basis for every other kind of group-targeted hatred. It's something about different, that the human psyche is like built, it's like we're built xenophobic. The first, something strange that we've never seen before occurs, it's worrisome. What's that? And people have learned to channel that negativity and focus it to their benefit. One of the people that was very good at this was Adolf Hitler. Okay? And that whole Southern slavery rationalization business that went on for so long, justifying slavery in the minds of the slave owners. And I think it's the same thing here. The relationship between two people is not between their genitals. It's between who's inside. And who's inside, all of us, is very much the same sort of person, the same sort of thing. We're all different. And the catering to us and them mentality, it fits in very well with certain religious groups' perspectives on things. There's us, the saved, and there's the rest of the world, and we can shit on them because we're saved.
We can't have that on air. Hold on there, Jeff. Jeff.
You know, like that.
Jeff, FCC, you have to watch your mouth. Sorry, but thanks for calling in. You have some great perspectives there. Let's go to line 10, please. Keith?
I present this theory to my mom, who we had a discussion at one point in time asking me whether or not, you know...
You still there?
Her not understanding what the perspective of a gay individual, where they come from, you know. And I think to a large extent, if you have an audience out there that is listening that is not gay, then, you know, I would like to indulge upon a particular theory that I have, which I myself am not gay, but I have no problem hanging out with gay people and stuff. But I come to that conclusion based off of the theory of that I surmise from the hermaphrodite. And what it is you have a hermaphrodite who is a physical manifestation of hormonal ambiguity, and you know, so it's chosen to represent its sexuality as a physical manifestation, which is a creature of God, born just out of who it is that they are. So you cannot have a basis saying that this is out of God's eye.
Keith, hold on. It's like you're talking about unicorns here. The actual hermaphrodites is about two of them on the whole planet. So, and I don't think you're being very scientific here. And it's sort of insulting to our guests to be compared to something that barely exists. But, okay, I mean, thanks very much.
Go ahead,
Tiffany. Tiffany's got a comment.
But there is a community of intersex people in our country who are born with ambiguous genitalia, and the doctor will decide when they're born whether this, you know, based on just observation, whether or not this child should live their life as a boy or whether this child should live their life as a girl, and they do sometimes surgical procedures that contradict what that person actually feels once they're old enough to understand who they are. And I guess I think what Keith is trying to say, that he may not be communicating clearly, is that we should accept people as they are, born as they are, not as a mistake, but as who they are, and let them express that freely and not try to fix it. Because I think prejudices are based on this idea of what is normal and what is abnormal.
Like we were saying about somebody drew a box around what is normal, but that box needs to be broken through now. Right. Let's go to line one, please. Janet? Hello?
Hi,
Janet. What's your comment?
Hi, how's everybody today? I hope
Good.
You're doing well. I've so enjoyed this dialogue. I've been listening. I almost didn't call in just because I wanted to listen, but I was moved to call because I sit on the Story Gathering Committee for Equality Works, and so over the past couple of months, I've been listening to stories and listening to people talk about how they were discriminated against in this community, and I think the thing that most moved me was listening to Barbara Jones of the Equal Rights Commission talk about how if someone is discriminated against because of their sexual orientation, their case cannot even be investigated. They are turned away at the door. And that's not because she's not sympathetic or empathetic, but simply because it's not in the code. It's not in the amendment. And so that just struck me. I was for the ordinance all along, but it deepened my resolve to be in support of it, because when people can't even have their case investigated or they can't even be heard, then clearly that's a segment of the population that we aren't supporting. And being a part of that committee really, it really spoke to me. And so I wanted people to hear that, that they can't even investigate those cases.
All right. Anyone want to comment on that?
Well, I think that she hit the nail right on the head that, you know, a lot of people at the meeting, the public hearing last night, were saying, well, we want to see evidence. We want to see statistics of how bad, you know, how bad discrimination is for people on the basis of sexual orientation. But the reality is we're never going to get that if we don't have an agency to report it to. You know, there was a study done, the Identity Reports, back in the 80s that the LGBT community had to do itself because, you know, no other agency in the state or the city would do it. And they had hundreds of cases of discrimination, many of them anonymous, and I think including a couple of murders. And they submitted that to the Equal Rights Commission at the time, or the Human Rights Commission at the time. And the commission still didn't think that was enough evidence to support, you know, including sexual orientation in the non-discrimination law. So I think, you know, the even when there's evidence of discrimination, people still oppose the notion of protecting people from it. So,
right. And tell me about discrimination in housing. Have any of you been told you couldn't have an apartment because of your sexuality?
We haven't, but we know people who have.
Right.
There's,
right.
excuse me, there have definitely been cases brought up to us, information that we've been given to pass along, like they were saying, the story gathering for Equality Works. And what Tiffany's talking about is the 1 in 10 study that we did many years ago. And like she said, most people had to be anonymous because they didn't want their names getting out and being further discriminated against. And 2 of our community leaders were murdered and have since had our community service awards named after them that the community gives out to LGBT people that do work in the community for the betterment of the community.
Well, murdered? When?
This was, want to say, the early 80s, early to late 80s, yeah. Wayne Hussey and the Peter Despirito are the 2 folks that this happened to, and we will always remember them because of what happened.
I would want to point out in my transcript of comments taken from last night's meetings, one particular gentleman said, and this is a quote, "This ordinance is an experiment in social engineering," and that is taken out of context, the context in which he said it was fairly negative. But I would like to remind that gentleman that the United States of America, it was an experiment in social engineering.
Absolutely.
And for all its ups and downs, it sort of went pretty well. How about, we were talking about society needing a scapegoat, and my theories were my theories, unscientific theory, is that, you know, it goes back to when all people were in tribes and it was a survival mechanism. You didn't want that other tribe to come in, and somehow that has sunk into the subconscious of many, many of us, and it's still there. It's like, sleep. Why we sleep? There's no reason to sleep. Did you know that? So there's a lot of things we're doing as a human race that need to be thrown out completely. I was going to mention something funny Phyllis said to me before we went on air. The subtitle for Pride Fest this year is The Last Queer Frontier. And I was thinking, why is that word resurfaced? It used to be a derogatory word.
It did, and people did not want to be called queer. It was treated as an insult. And we wanted to be called gay if you're a man, lesbian if you're a woman, bisexual if you have an affectional... give me a word.
Non-preference,
or preference for both. If you're a transgender person, if you're an intersex person, and pretty soon the alphabet got so long that we started calling ourselves the alphabet community. And so it's much simpler and much more inclusive to just say queer.
We're here, we're queer, get used to it. That was the old slogan.
That's right.
We got a call on line 1. Let's go to 1. Hello, Hugh.
Yes, I wanted to thank the panel for giving out good information, accurate information. And I hope that, you know, a lot of our friends and even opponents of the recent ordinance will, you know, let their words speak to their heart. And at some point, we're going to have to reconcile the differences of people with different, you know, views on the ordinance in particular. And I look forward to a forum to help with that dialogue so everybody can be safe and healthy and anchored. So that's what everybody wants. But I do think that the Assembly does need to support the ordinance and support the gay and lesbian community because we do make contributions to the entire community. And again, thank you for the panel.
Thank you, Hugh. Thanks for calling in. And we're running out of time, not totally, but I want to end with this funny story. And I was cruising YouTube one day. I came across a video, and it was called Galians. I don't know who produced it, but it was very funny, and it was about two they were men. They were like humanoid men, but they came to Earth in their own rocket ship, and they were gay. And on their planet, everyone is gay. And they come to Earth, and they hold a press conference, and they tell the humans, we have brought to you these wonderful inventions. We have a cure for cancer. We have figured out how to change CO2 into an energy source. We have perfected space travel, and we want to bring these wonderful inventions to the human race. And all the reporters are gathered around, and all they can focus on is that these two guys are gay. And so the gay comments and the gay jokes and the sneering starts, and they completely sideline, you know, the space travel and the cure for cancer. And that's sort of what you guys are up against. It was very funnily done, and I have no idea who produced it, but I wish I did. But that's sort of what the homosexual community is up against, because the media does tend to focus on this one thing, whereas, like, Pride Fest is a celebration of life, right?
Absolutely.
So let's talk about that a little bit more. We've only got a few more seconds, but Pride Fest is beginning
again the 13th of June through the 21st. I wanted to thank Susan also for mentioning MCC, who is one of our co-sponsors and where some of the events are going on. It's the Metropolitan Community Church that ministers especially to the LGBT and allied community, and we're very proud to have them here.
Okay, and there will be many events. I think there will be a parade on the 20th.
The parade is the 20th from 11 to noon, and then the festival will be on the west end of the Pride, Park Strip over near the Rose Garden and P Street from noon to 5 p.m. with a dance following, an outdoor dance.
And this is open to the public?
Yes, ma'am.
Is there a fee?
No, ma'am.
No, ma'am? Okay, thank you for being so respectful.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Community Forum. I'm Ellen Lockyer. Be back next week.
Community Forum is a production of KSKA's News and Public Affairs Department. Opinions expressed are those of the guest, host, and callers, and do not represent the views of KSKA, the licensee, or the underwriters. You can subscribe to free podcasts of Community Forum on our website at kska.org, where you can also find links to additional information on today's topic, including all the websites mentioned on today's show. If you have questions or comments concerning this program, write to us at 3877 University Drive, Anchorage, Alaska, 99508, or email communityforum@kska.org. CD copies can be purchased by calling 550-8400 during regular business hours. This is KSKA, Anchorage.